The following study is a Wednesday night lesson given by guest speaker Joey Netter at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
Well, good evening, everyone. How are you guys doing? My dad's not here. It's my mom and dad's anniversary, so they're taking some time off. So why don't you guys turn to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. I had like three different avenues that I was going to go. Because, you know, like when someone says, hey, do you want to teach from the Bible? It's like a huge, huge, you know, you could teach anything. And there's so much, there's like thousands of pages. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read it. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So, shameless plug, I go to Corbin University. Go Warriors. It's our mascot. I didn't choose it. So, there we focus on biblical integration into the classroom. But if you're majoring in psychology, if you're majoring in business, if you're majoring in education, doesn't matter. You have to go there and get a minor in some sort of biblical theology. So I got to go through a class. It was called Bible Study Methods. And there we went through, it's like, well, why don't you just study the Bible and it's all good? Then we went through like different tactics of like the means of which things come to be, and different things like the vernacular and verbiage that Paul uses, what he means by that, and being able to contextually break it down and use like, I don't know, vines or different tools that Bible people use, you know, logos and all that stuff. It was really cool, really fun class. But in there, I got to choose, you know, any set of verses. Again, it's like, here, choose the Bible. It's like, you know, we live in the great food city of Portland, right? And it's like, where do you want to go to eat? Anywhere, you know, like there's so many places, you know, Pine State Biscuits, McBinnon's, whatever. It's, you have so many options and they're all really good options. So, hey, you can teach on anything. So I taught on this and I went through verse 1 and verse 10. And my whole thing was kind of like, it was based around zombies. So the whole thing, how many of you guys have ever like seen a zombie film or something like that? They're kind of taken over and it's kind of like, I mean, I don't mean to rant, but there, you know, there's a lot of zombie things. But the Bible talks about zombies. Look at that. Verse 1. Let's read that again. And you he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were once dead. We were once a dead people. We were walking around and just aimlessly walking around. There's this ant. I saw this and it's kind of gross. So you know how my dad does sometimes, like he'll say something and it has to do with blood and some people will get queasy. This is kind of like that. So there's this ant. There's this ant in the rainforest. And ants, by the way, I think are the most successful bug, pretty much. They have colonies of 80 million at some times. You know, 80% of the rainforest floor is covered with some sort of ant, some sort of six-legged creature, which is nuts. But there's this thing called I think it's called a cordyceps. And a cordyceps fungus is a fungus. It's, you know, nature is a cycle. And this cycle, let's take a certain point, this fungus will get into an ant. And the colony of ants will then sense, it'll be like, they can smell it. They can smell it. And they're like, this is, one of you guys has that cordyceps fungi. And then they will literally they will grab the ant and they will take it. Sometimes, I think like hundreds of feet is what they're saying. They will like pick up the ant and drag it off. And all the while, this ant is kind of going crazy because you see this fungus, this cordyceps fungus, took over this ant's mind, like full on, like it's I mean, you guys have seen Planet Earth, the HD show. Look it up. It's crazy. Planet Earth. It's nuts. They show like things that are amazing about animals. They show this on there and they show the footage of the ant, and the ant is like, it's kind of like struggling because you can tell that it doesn't have control of its body. It's like scraping at its arms and like doing this weird thing. And so all the while this little ant's taking it and carrying it hundreds of feet away. The reason why is because then as this ant is in some sort of catatonic zombie state, in fact, Harvard University classified it as zombie state, which is crazy. It goes, climbs up the nearest bush, tree, something, whatever, for sunlight. it'll climb up, and in this state of zombie-ness, walking dead thing, it'll grab on with its pinchers and just hold for dear life. And then basically, it dies there. Like, it dies in, like, a locked position. And then, this is the gross part, I'm sorry. This fungus will start, because it's in its mind, it'll grow out of its brain, like a limb, like a branch. And it'll grow, if the ant is, you know, half an inch, it'll grow like 3 inches out. It's huge. Like, you guys got to see this. It's nuts. It's nuts. So the reason why the ants carry it out, this thing grows, and at the end, there's these little, they look like little flowers. And basically, these flowers pop. And then this fungus then spreads, you know, like a dandelion. You know how it goes, like that, you know? It does that, but with this zombie stuff. It's crazy. It's just nuts. So that was us. We were zombies. Verse 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in your own trespasses. Man, we were ants. We were in a catatonic zombie state. You know what I mean? And the Lord, let's get into this. What did the Lord do? Verse 3. Among whom also we have had our conversation in times past and in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh in the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What's crazy is that the Bible says that we were walking in sin. The walking there in the Greek, it's kind of more like ambiguous and aimless. It's more like we, like a zombie, like we didn't have direction. We didn't have definition in where we were going. We didn't have any sort of, we didn't have anything. You know, we were like zombies. Like that's a fairly apt analogy, that we didn't have any control of where we're going, nor did our wills. We had nothing. We were like the ants climbing up, trying to get sunlight because this thing was taking over our minds. It's crazy. So verse 4, this is the whole thing. I'm trying to sum up that Bible study methods class. It was like a 3-month thing, like a 20-page paper at the end in like 15, 20 minutes. So verse 1 through 3 are kind of like the, the dark, very eerie time, you know, like you were dead in your trespasses. You know, you're a sinner. You had no control. You were like a slug that just didn't have any control. Oh, there's slugs that do that same thing, by the way. It's gross. It's gross. There's over 400 different types of this fungi. It's really gross, you guys. You got to check it out. But that was us. We were dead. We had no control. We were toast. Shark bait. Curtains. Verse 4. This is arguably one of the most uplifting or, 180-degree turns in the Bible is these two words. But God. Huge. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he hath loved us. Even when we were dead in our own sins, he hath quickened us to gather together in Christ, with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And he hath raised us up together, and he made us sit together in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Do you guys see that? Do you guys feel that turning point? It's like such a cool, uplifting thing. You know, it goes from, you guys were dead. You know, you had no control. You were chasing after the lusts of the flesh. And this coming from Paul at this time. See, Paul is talking to Ephesus, right? And Ephesus in that day was approximately 250,000 people. And in the grand scheme of, you know, the Roman Empire, this was a huge city. Rome was like the top. It's kind of like New York City today, you know, huge, just ridiculously huge. And with that, there were tons of idols, tons of things. You know, even Paul even talks about when he went to Mars Hill, the unnamed God. You guys have so many gods. You have one that just is, in case you missed one, called the unnamed God. You guys know this. But Ephesus was a bit of a mecca in terms of false gods, in terms of idols, in terms of idolatry, in terms of fornication. That's why Paul says lust of the own flesh. But then when Paul goes to verse 4, but God, that's amazing to me. He says, you guys have done all this stuff, all this gross filth, who you guys are, zombie state. You have no control over anything, but it's the Lord. It's the Lord who has done all of this stuff. And I love it in verse 6. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. God wants you guys God wants me. God wants all of us. And the idea there is kind of like a trophy, you know, and not so much to be like, check out what I did. Look what I made. This is great. You know, it's more like Kyle and I were talking about how if a kid gives us a drawing or something like that, you know, it's special. And we're like, yeah, that's awesome. And we're not going to be like, you kind of missed a spot. You know, you're not going to, you know, quash the work of that little kid because that'll crush him, you know, but it doesn't matter because you're so excited. How many of you guys have been in some position like that where you've received something from a little kid and it just blesses your heart? It's one of the funnest things in ever. It's just the coolest thing. So we're here, we're drawings like that, and we get it to the Lord, and the Lord's like, dude, trophy, hanging it on the fridge in heaven. I love it. Let's get back to verse 7. He wants us to gather together in heavenly places, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Again, it's not about what we've done. It's not about our faith. It's not about our good works. It's about the work that the Lord has done in us. Amen? It's about the work that the Lord is doing through us. And that's kind of the whole shtick, is that the Lord has taken us and brought us into the fold. And now he wants to showcase us off as this awesome thing, as this thing that he's going to use. Verse 8. This is like huge verse. If your kids don't know this verse, make them know this verse. It's great. Verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. Again, it's not by what we've done. It's not by, it was great because this last weekend we were talking about, you know, our works being judged, you know, the great throne judgment. Things are going to go in, they're going to be burnt. Do you guys remember that? Wood, hay, and stubble, done. It's not about those works that we've done, because a lot of the times, most of the time, all the time, those works are, I don't know, they're turned into things that are evil and sinful and wrong, just because we ourselves have a human nature and we ourselves are sinners. And so any good work that we think is something that, yeah, this will be good, there's probably something that, you know, someone could find that's like, no, it's the Lord that's saving you. It's not that good thing that you think that you did. It's all the Lord. Let's read that again. Verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's kind of funny because, like, the Lord says in verse 9, you know, it's not of any man should boast. So it's funny because being humans, you know, we have, like, we find ways to boast about things that are, like, we have no credit in boasting them, you know. Like, I have so much faith. You don't even know. I have so much faith that I did it. No, the Lord instilled that faith in you when you were a zombie, because going back to this ant zombie analogy, when you were an ant zombie thing, you didn't have the will in order to have faith. That faith was instilled in you by the Lord. Does that make sense? So any sort of credit that you might take saying that, hey, I had faith so that I got saved. No, it's all the Lord. Because do you see that? Because it's a boasting point. It's a point of pride that we can say faith. You know what I mean? Again, our human nature just betraying us left and right. It's just ridiculous. Verse 10, the big dog. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Workmanship in the Greek, who knows what it is? Poema. Poema. And poema is where we get our word poem. As you guys probably did, you know, your detective work. Poem. God's workmanship. You guys know this verse. He took us in that catatonic state, in that zombie ant state, and he made us into something that he's going to hang on the fridge. One time, I think it was like 4 years ago. It was when I was just kind of getting into guitar, like more serious. My dad was listening to, it was a like a YouTube, his office is, you know, in one room, and there's a wall, and there's like the living room. So sometimes I can hear what he's doing. And it was like his day off, and he was watching I think a guitar video, and I was sitting on the couch. I think I might have been playing the guitar, but this guy was playing the guitar, and I heard it. I didn't see it, but I heard it, and I was like, all right, that's pretty good, you know? I mean, I wasn't judging him, saying, you know, oh, I could do this better, but it was like, he was all right, and it wasn't something that was like, but it was pretty good. So, and I think I went in there to ask him a question, and then I saw what it was. This guy had no arms and was playing the guitar on the floor way better than I could play the guitar ever in my life. And it was like, what? You know, it went from something that was, all right, that's pretty good, to like, whoa, that's amazing. That's crazy. I think it was slide guitar too, which is like twice as hard as normal. It blew my mind. Guy had no arms. It was ridiculous. And there's, you should look him up. No arms guitar. Whew, huge. Amazing. That guy was amazing. We are God's workmanship. We're his poema. We're his poem. And you might be thinking, you know, I'm no poem. I'm not some great Iliad of the Lord's. I'm not any great work, any great masterpiece, any artwork, any great song. I'm not that. I'm a comic strip, you know. I can't even hold my own on anything. Why is God calling me a poem of his? It has to do with, you know, the guy who had no arms that was playing the guitar. He calls us his poem. He calls us his workmanship, because what he started with and what he ended up with was something that was amazing, and it was something that he could be proud of. You know, it's kind of like, back to that video, I thought the guy was pretty good at guitar, and then it was like, he has no arms. Boom! Like, video shot up. Same with us. People are like, you're his poem? You're his workmanship? Now, look what he had to start with. You know what I'm saying? He had to start with some goofy people, and now he's turned us into his workmanship. I also like what it says there in the last part. Which God hath before us, he hath ordained that we should walk in him. Ordained there is another word there is elected. He has elected us to be with him. And if God elects you for something, you're in, man. Our election is kind of coming up here. Strange times. We got a bit of a rise out of Scotty. How many of you guys know Scotty, the bassist? Nicest guy. Nicest. But we got like, not a rise, but like, it was like, ooh, because we were about to play a song. We're like, hey, Scotty, what do you think of Hillary Clinton? All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he's like, ah, that's pretty funny. And he's like the guy who's like always the nicest, but he was like, well, let me just tell you, oh, we're going to play. Okay, it was pretty funny. But God has elected you. God has said, hey, I want you to be on my team. I want you to be on my fridge as a trophy. You're my workmanship. And there is nothing that we could do to say no way. We're elected, man. It's great. He has ordained us. He has called us. He has elected us. And that love that he poured out to us, the love that he gave for us, you know, you guys have heard it said that it's given to us freely, but it costs a great deal, right? And something that I was thinking about, I drive quite a bit, so it's a lot of time to think. I was thinking about it, that love is something that wants a genuine response. Love is something that doesn't want to be, Abe Mentioned Friend puts it great. He says that Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He's not someone who's going to force his love on you guys. He's not someone that's going to say, hey, let me in. You know how many, you guys have seen that painting of the door with no knob, and Jesus is looking outside, you know, he's waiting to get in there. God, you know, he could have busted the door in, but that's not who he is. He's a perfect gentleman. He's waiting for that genuine response. He's waiting for us to say, you know, Lord, it's by grace that we're saved. It's not by anything that I've done. I have no room to boast here. It's just by what you've done and what you've done alone. And that genuine response, you know, you can liken it to, I don't know, when a man proposes to a woman, you know, typically all he has in his hand is, you know, the ring, you know, the box. Typically he doesn't have a ring and then a gun in the other hand saying, hey, I was just going to go, you know. That, and you're not going to get a genuine response from the woman. You know what I mean? Like, it could be, you could get a response if you have the gun, but you're going to need to, you know, check the food before every meal kind of thing. You know what I mean? But the Lord is a guy who wants a genuine response. And he's there with a ring. He says, hey, be my bride. Let's do this thing. And he doesn't have a gun. He's not saying, hey, let me in. He's not busting down that door. He's saying, hey, I'm here waiting for you. It's something that you guys know. And it's something that was just encouraging to me as I was working on it, I think a term ago. And when I was refreshing up on it and studying it today and yesterday, it was just refreshing and encouraging to be like, man, Lord, you're so good to me and you're so good to every one of us. And your love is just never ending and it's relentless. And you just, all you want is just for us kiddos to just worship you and us kiddos to just have that genuine response to him. Does that make sense? Like the genuine response thing? Like it's not something that's just like a contrived, like, we're going to worship the Lord now, so I'm going to lift up my hands because that is what they told me to do. It comes from the heart. And the Lord sees that, you know, just like parents or just like people that help out in kids ministry or people that babysit. When a kid gives you something, you can tell if it's like a genuine thing. If it's like, man, I love you. You're a great babysitter. I love you. You're a great dad. You're a great mom. Or if it's like, I want to give you this because I want some cookies or whatever. So let's do that. I really like worshiping the Lord with a guitar and with singing. It's not the only way to do it. But it's definitely something that I really like to do. And it's an easy way for me, anyways, to just genuinely worship the Lord and worship the Lord without really thinking about a whole lot other than him. And even as we're in just a beautiful area. It's kind of cool. The when they built the temple, it was one of those things where their goal was to make everything just make you think about Jesus. Everything you looked at, the gold, the silver, the pearl, whatever it was, to look at Jesus. And even secular individuals said, man, this temple is legit. It's awesome. And everywhere you looked, it was just Jesus. So for me, when I'm even outside and stuff like this and on the property, it's gorgeous. Everywhere I look, it's just the Lord's creation. So let's do that. Let's worship. Let's all stand together. Lord, we thank you so much that we can worship you in freedom, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you are the only one that's worthy of our praise, Father. So even when we were in our catatonic zombie state, Lord, you came and you rescued us, Lord. It wasn't by anything that we've done. So we worship you now. We give you our praise. And it's nothing that we can do to deserve anything, Lord, that you give to us freely, Lord. You just give it to us. Because you're a dad who loves his kiddos. We praise you for that, Father. So may we go our way just rejoicing about what you've done, what you're doing in our lives, Lord. May we just walk away with a revelrous attitude, Lord. Just an unrelenting praise. Because that's what we should be doing, Lord. Nothing else but just praising you, Father, in everything we do. If we're filing papers tomorrow, Lord, if we're wiping diapers tomorrow, Lord, may we be praising you in doing that and see the grand purpose in all of it, Lord. And if that's not your will, Lord, for us to see what you're doing in it, Lord, may we just be a faithful people, Lord. Give us the strength to have that faith, to continue in the work that you've set before us, to be faithful in to carry out the mission that you've given us, Father. May we go out and just be stewards of the word with that word on our hearts, Lord, that you have saved us by grace. It's nothing that we've done, Father. We're just so blessed. So we give you praise, Lord. We thank you so much for just a beautiful evening just we spent in your creation, just worshiping you, Lord, giving you just a genuine response of praise, Father. So we go our way now, and we lift your name high. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
To take advantage of our media ministry, we encourage you to visit us anytime at athecreek.com, where we have all of Pastor Brett's Bible studies available as a free download.